Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Unbreakable Hearts 2, a true heart-wrenching story about victory forfeited by Earl Dusty Trimmer, relates with both skill and personal experience events surrounding our most forgettable and misunderstood war in America's history. It brings it all home with his down-to-earth style and considerable knowledge. In Unbreakable Hearts 2, Dusty dives into the Vietnamese history and culture, skillfully bringing the reader into understanding our Vietnamese enemy's amazing resolve. Earl Dusty Trimmer was a combat infantry soldier in the Vietnam War, 1968 and 69, considers himself still a soldier. As a combat infantryman, he often walked at the head of the combat mission as the point man during the bloodiest year of the Vietnam War, 1968. Since his return from Vietnam in 1969, he's faced near-death run-ins almost as often as he faced them in Southeast Asia. After suffering a 2006 collapse in a Cleveland VA, he filed a claim for PTSD. His quality of life has continued with detours and denials. So I wrote books about it, the most recent one, Unbreakable Hearts 2. And Earl Dusty Trimmer joins us on This Week in America. Earl, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You are such a talented writer, written other books, and we'll talk about those as we go through the conversation today. When did you first realize that you liked to be a writer and you were good at it?
Well, I worked in sales and marketing for 30-some years with publishing companies, sold advertising, but mostly marketing consultant, and it commanded a lot of sales letter writing and presentations and all that kind of stuff, and it seemed I got pretty creative at it, so I earned about 16 Salesman of the Year awards for a company called Gordon Publications and Connors Publishing, which were eventually gobbled up and eaten by Elsevier, which is a Danish company. It's, I believe, the oldest print publishing company in the world. We became part of them, and that was a good experience for me. I liked working with the Dutch.
Well, and obviously learned a lot, and the books are doing so well. This book is Unbreakable Hearts 2, a true heart-wrenching story about victory forfeited. What inspired you to write this book, this follow-up book to Unbreakable Hearts? What was your thinking in continuing the story and writing this book?
Well, what motivated me most was my anger. My friends, my buddies, my platoon members were dying left and right all around me. And the more I got in touch with other Vietnam veterans, I found out that this was happening from coast to coast. So I dedicated it to them for the most part. Unfortunately, four of my platoon members died before I even got my first book out. So that's how bad it was. And my anger just kept getting worse, and VA was concerned about it, and I kept telling them that my PTSD is not depression. I don't feel sorry for myself. I'm just mad. So the anger drove me incessantly to write the books. And after the first book, it went over so well with Vietnam veterans, I never received a bad comment at all. And they urged me to continue to write another one. And I don't know if I had it in me, because the first book actually brought back some memories I thought I had buried.
Yes.
And they weren't good. And my psychiatrist figured that it caused a stroke, a major brain stroke that I had in December 2013. The book caused that. And it happened right after the book came out. I came down with the big stroke. And there repercussions from it. I lost vision in an eye. Neuropathy was getting worse from my diabetes too, which they said was presumed to be related with excessive exposure of Agent Orange. Mm-hmm. And the neuropathy set in, and muscle coordination, muscle strength, it was never the same. And from there on, I mean, the illnesses just kept compiling. I'm dealing with two stage 4 illnesses right now, stage 4 kidney failure and stage 4 cancer in my lung. and all related to Agent Orange and Vietnam.
Boy, so sorry to hear about all of the problems. And this book, Unbreakable Hearts 2, it's a must-read by Earl Dusty Tremmer, our guest on the program. That's T-R-I-M-M-E-R, if you're Googling. And once you go to Amazon, for example, stratton-press.com as well, if you just click on the author's name, you'll find the other books that Earl has written as well. When you started creating these books, and there are several books, and I'll mention those before we leave the conversation today, what was the most surprising thing you learned in creating these? And you went through that emotion of anger, and I was going to ask if that helped you with anger or reignited it, and it sounded like maybe a little bit of both, in particular the reigniting. What did you learn in creating this book as well as the others?
I was amazed myself that how much I had not forgotten. I mean, I remembered everything as like it happened yesterday, from almost like day to day over there. There was just nothing that was a monumental experience over there that I didn't remember the precise details. I mean, the colors, the smells, the background. I mean, the noises. It's all there to this day. It just hasn't gone away, and I found out I was not so much enjoying writing the book, but I saw that it was necessary, and I was glad that I told my story, and which taught me that so many Vietnam veterans, which haven't told their stories, and nor can they, since well over half of us have passed away since the war has ended. So they went to their graves without writing their story. And basically the story of a Vietnam veteran, their families won't know what they went through because they don't talk about it, which I didn't talk about it either. What spurred me on to write the book, and not to get political, but when John Kerry ran for president, it increased my anger. Most
yes.
Vietnam veterans are not fans of John Kerry to this day. And he motivated me to not only write books, but get heavily involved with supporting politics.
Well, it's interesting. Out of that anger has come some good in what you've been able to do with your books. And you mentioned it before, when you read reviews of your books, in this case, Unbreakable Hearts 2, you've touched so many people. Talk about that. What do you hear from your readers, and what kind of things do they say? Everything I'm reading, you're sort of almost like a lifeline to them out there with your books.
Well, a good number of them related back to me that it was almost like they were walking in my boots.
Yes.
Or I was walking in their boots. And my style of writing, it's not Harvard or Yale. It's talking to people on the street. Very understandable type of English that they could relate to. And they felt like they knew me. And lo and behold, I've developed hundreds of relationships or acquaintances by Facebook, on the phone, and from the books because of the books. And we've stayed in touch since the very first book. A number of them, I've received 3 calls this week from Vietnam veterans who read my first book, and they're after my last one to get a hold of it. So. And I mail them all out, of course, and lots of times I don't charge them if they're not able to pay for it.
Earl Dusty Tremmer, our guest on the program. The book is Unbreakable Hearts 2. You'll find it at the publisher, stratton-press.com. Of course, Amazon, the usual places. When you're presenting a story like this, what in your mind makes a good story? You want to hold people's attention while at the same time you want to be authentic. You want to have that relatability, which you do. What makes a good story, in particular in talking about Vietnam and getting the message across?
Truth, facts, research, document everything. Nothing can be challenged that I've written in my books. People have different opinions, of course. For instance, if you talk to one brother who is in a battle that I was in, and then another one, and then another one, each one of them would remember it differently. And I was surprised at that. So I was faced with the challenge of trying to create some of those events from their points of view along with just mine. I wasn't the only one in that ambush. These guys were in it too. And they saw this and they saw that. And it's, wow, I've got to have to convey this to everybody. If I just focus on how I saw it, what I went through, I may not reach some people and get through to them, but I did. Yeah, I interviewed many Vietnam veterans with the four books, and word per word, verbatim. And I think people were shocked at the reality of what we went through. I mean, the living conditions are indescribable. I went in for some surgery recently. I just broke my ankle, add on to things. And the doctor said, well, you're not going to be able to take a shower for about a week or so. I says, hey, I went 88 days without taking a shower. and that's a fact. We were in the bush around search and destroy mission, staying out in the jungle for 88 straight days without a warm meal. We had the same clothes, the same boots, two pair of socks, a towel. That was our godsend, a towel and a poncho. But 88 straight days before we saw a base camp and actually tasted a French fry and a cheeseburger again. And the diseases that it caused were just we live with them to this day. My jungle rot on my skin has never gone away. They've never been able to cure it. And, of course, the Agent Orange factor is they're still finding diseases that they're crediting to be presumed to cause by Agent Orange. It wasn't just Roundup. It was like 400 times the strength of Roundup. And even as the war progressed in the Tet Offensive years of 68, 69, the chemical companies and the government, developed a stronger version of Agent Orange called Super Agent Orange, which cleaned up the jungles in quicker fashion. Unfortunately, we drank the water that it was sprayed on. We ate pineapples and bananas and food that it was sprayed on. It was in our system. It was on our clothes. And Super Agent Orange in 68 and 69 just magnified everything. And it stays in your system, and you start having problems 20, 30, 40, 50 years after you were there.
No, it's amazing.
It is. It's unfortunate.
Over 50 years and still they're learning things, still having problems. Unbreakable Hearts 2 is the name of the book by our guest Earl Dusty Trimmer. Book available, stratton-press.com, Amazon, the usual places. Mentioned the other books that you've written going back to 1987. Talk a little bit about maybe your favorite. Is there a book in there that you really felt got the message across and really helped people?
Well, Condemned Property. The name itself with a question mark, I'm putting the question out there. Are we, us, are we Vietnam veterans, are we condemned property? And the picture that it has on the front of the book is a post-battle scene after a very disastrous ambush. And we are in what we call the pineapple swamps of Vietnam. And you can see the crud and stuff on our legs from the swamps that were traipsing through, and of course there are no smiles on any faces, and half the people from that picture are gone, which is just devastating.
Yes. It's such a powerful series of books, The Unbreakable Hearts, and the other books as well. The first one that Earl wrote was Vietnam One-on-One. That goes back, I say, to 1987. Condemned Property, ? Payback Time with an exclamation, Unbreakable Hearts, and Unbreakable Hearts 2. Talk about Payback Time with an exclamation point. You did that in 2015. What's the main topic of that book?
Well, fortunately, Condemned Property made an impact. It caused responses from people like Pat Sajak, Gary Sinise, a number of other celebrities in lesser stage, but because they were Vietnam veterans, And they encouraged me to write another book, as did pretty much everybody else that read the book and took the time to write to me. It was amazing how many Vietnam veterans took the time to write me a long letter regarding the book. You know, they didn't go on Amazon and put a review on there. They wrote to me. Even though I received, I think, 30 reviews for Condemned Property, but I've received hundreds of letters, and I have them all, and I go through them every now and then. And, of course, I have all of my database that are still living, of course.
Yes.
And every week or every month, another one dies from similar such illnesses that I have. My situation is not unique. It's just very common. Prostate cancer, lung cancer, it's just very, very common. It's very depressing. And the anger was spurred on by the fact that the VA was denying our benefits time and time again, delay and deny, delayed and denied. I started going to the VA in 2005, and my glucose reading, that first blood test, was 151, which is considered diabetic. I didn't know that back then. But we found out 5 years later that I was diabetic at that time, but nobody diagnosed it. So filing claims and getting denied and delayed and denied, and so many of our brothers were dying when they were in this stage of denial and delay. I can't begin to tell you the anger that caused. I had dreams, nightmares of doing terrible things. To the VA, of course, of which I wouldn't have carried out any of the
yes.
of them. They were nightmares. But they happened in my nightmares, and geez, they almost seemed like real. I was going down there and getting revenge and stuff like that. And it's and I heard a lot of stories from other veterans going through the same thing. I mean, we caught compensation and pen. Physicians lying on their reports of the physicals and the analysis of our conditions and stuff. They basically lied. It's almost like, well, it's actually been proven since that they were on a bonus system. You know, turn down, deny them as much as you can, you'll get a bonus. And that has been proven. It did happen. Back in the worst years, the peak years were during the administration before Donald Trump. The record number of over 660,000 appeals were on backlog for health care benefits applications.
You know, and we talk a lot about trying to face this, change it. We owe you more than that. Now, do you see any change? Is it any better now than during that period?
Well, not to get political again, but the man called Mr. Donald J. Trump, when he left the administration, when he was done, the at peak level, that ungodly number of 600 and some thousand veterans on appeal denials and delays was down to 60,000, and he managed to fire people at the top that people were insisting they couldn't be fired. It was the government. It was the VA. Can't get rid of them. He did. He put the fear of God into them and changed so many things. And one of the reasons I wrote Unbreakable Hearts 2 is because I felt that he deserved to be credited for what he did. So I put in a 36-page chapter dedicated to him, documenting pretty much all the things that he got passed, things he got for us, and sent a copy of the book to him. He wrote back to me and thanked me, and he said, I'll hear from him again. I've written him again since he's been out of the presidency. I haven't heard back from him, but I expect to. He actually wrote back to me 3 times. Which is amazing because I've written to every president that I can remember that I went since I've had an interest in politics back to me. except him. He was the first.
It's just an amazing story, and hopefully we're going to see some progress rather than just lip service. And we had that for years, and hopefully that continues. But the time is going by so quickly. Our guest on the program is Earl Dusty Trimmer. His book is Unbreakable Hearts 2. Was there a particular scene that was difficult for you to write? I mean, there's so many as you're reading, you're thinking, boy, that has to be difficult to go and to bring that back to life in your mind again. What was the hardest scene for you to relive in your mind as you wrote Unbreakable Hearts 2?
Well, there were obviously a number of battles that we were in. You know, contrary to opinions, a Vietnam combat veteran actually saw more combat and was exposed to combat situations than World War II combat vets were, because on a daily basis, we were always put out there. We were always exposed, always put out there. And when we lost men or they were wounded, all they did was replace them and send a replacement out, and the ship kept on sailing like nothing happened. In World War II, they pulled the unit out, and they gave them a rest until they got the replacements in. And they didn't go on the constant search and destroy missions that we were forced to do in 68 and 69 during the Tet Offensive years. And so the morale, everybody was pretty gung-ho when they came over. You know, I'm going to be the next John Wayne. You know, they went, I got to go, I got to do my thing. But the morale quickly got demoralized, and just seeing the expressions on everybody's faces after a battle, like you're in disbelief, state of shock, and you can't, one battle over another, insignificant, they're just all bad. I mean, a small ambush could be even as bad as a large human wave attack. And you never know how a guy is going to react. You just never know. You never know who's going to be the hero. You never know who's going to be afraid. But for the most part, everybody had each other's back. And so the bonds were developed. It didn't matter if you're black, Hispanic, Native American, Indian, the bonds that were developed. I have friendships for life from the guys I served with in Vietnam. If there were more of them alive, we would be best friends right now. I'm still in touch with family from some of them, their wives and their kids. One of my Vietnam veteran brothers' daughter wrote a poem for me just last year, and I put the poem in Condemned Property, too. And it's just never forgettable, just never forgettable.
And you bring that to me.
VA, and to see the expressions on their faces, and
yes.
And you know, talk to them, because I make sure they're real Vietnam veterans, because we've been plagued with a lot of uncommon valor or false valor, a lot of people wanting to be known as a Vietnam veteran, but they really aren't or weren't, in order to get benefits. That's so unfortunate, but it's true. But we can easily determine if they're real or not after a 5-minute conversation. And so I engage as many conversations as I can when I go down to VA. And I have to go down to VA in one office or another, like just every week, you know, 6, 7, 8 times a month because of all the various. I had kidney cancer, which they had to remove that kidney. And that left me with the other kidney, which was already in stage 3 kidney failure. And then that graduated or flunked down to stage 4. And then we found out the kidney cancer had moved to my lung. So, you know, I'm under constant care down there. And it's shocking how many guys are in that same boat, but nobody knows it.
Well, that's
nobody
the thing.
Knows it. You know, and their families never heard their story, never heard what they went through.
Well, you're there to fill in a lot of the blanks for family members and to remind all of us what you went through during that period. The book is so relatable, so understandable from your perspective. The pictures tell so many stories, and the bond that you talk about, you can see in the pictures in the book, and we've been showing those on the screen for the video version of the conversation. The book is Unbreakable Hearts 2, a true heart-wrenching story about victory forfeited, exclamation point, by Earl Dusty Trimmer, our guest on the program. You'll find the book at the publisher, stratton-press.com. Of course, Amazon, the usual places, and go to our website. You'll be able to link on directly and get all the information on this book and Earl's other books as well. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. I really wish you the best with everything that you're fighting and in dealing with. And I appreciate you taking the time to join us here to talk about this very important book that's helping so many people, Unbreakable Hearts, too. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and the book is Unbreakable Hearts 2, that book and all the books you'll find at Amazon, and if you go to our website, you'll get all the information. The author is Earl Dusty Trimmer. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.